Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Our scripture this morning comes from the book of Joshua. We don't go back to Joshua very often, but this is the quintessential moment in that book where Joshua, as he gets ready to enter into the promised land, having taken over from Moses, issues a charge to his people. And that charge focuses the people as they make their way from the years of wandering in the wilderness into the land that had been promised to them. So listen to this beautiful passage from Joshua chapter 24, the first 3.5 verses, and then skipping ahead to verses 14 and 15. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel. And they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Then I took your father, Abraham, from beyond the river and led him through all the land of Canaan, and made his offspring many. Now therefore, revere the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, and whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Thanks be to God. This week I have been enthused to live in an imperfect country. But an imperfect country where on Tuesday we got to do something a lot of people around the world can't do. And that is, we got to vote. In some countries, and for some of us at some polling places, in our own country's history, not so long ago, such has not always been the case. We have much for which to be grateful. I'm not saying we live in a perfect country, but I'm glad to be part of this American experiment. And I'm glad to be reminded that I'm part of a larger, wider American and indeed world community. Joshua, as he has wandered through the wilderness, finds himself at the beginning of a new day before his fellow citizens. It was election time, so to speak. It was election time in that a new day was dawning for Joshua and the people. The long trek across that wilderness to the promised land had now ended. And as they stood together on that new day, Joshua recounted their journey. You know, there's a time when you're ready to begin a journey that you look back. He helped them look back to the place beyond the river at the Euphrates, the cradle of civilization. Looked back to the trek that Abraham, called by God, had taken around Ur of the Chaldeans, the fertile crescent, through the land of Cana and to the land of Egypt. Joshua intoned the names of the fathers and the mothers that came before, Terah, Nahor, Abraham's brother. It was election day as they look back and get ready to step into this new day for the people of God. Because it was election day, Joshua asked them to make a choice. Who will you serve? It was a question. Will you serve the God of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates? Or will you serve the God of the Amorites in our midst now? Or will you serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? Choose this day whom you will serve, Isaac or Joshua challenged the people. That question is just as valid for us Christians today as it was for our Hebrew brothers and sisters 2,700 years ago. And it might be a particularly relevant question for us today as we consider our next steps after this cantankerous election season. It's a grounding question, I think, and it's one that pulls us back to our center, to our core, to the heart of who we are called to be. I think that. You tell me what you think about this text. So who are you going to serve? Behind whom are you going to throw your support and your allegiance? As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve the Lord. We'll continue to serve the Lord, he said then, and I say to you now, regardless of who holds any office. Every day we have a choice. Every day we have a choice. It's not just last Tuesday that we had a choice. We have a choice every single day. Who are we going to follow today? Who are we going to trust today? Are we going to trust the gods of Wall Street? Or are we going to trust the God of Mary and Martha and the prophets? Are we going to allow ourselves to be swept up in the winds of hate? Are we going to be part of the name-calling and the hand-wringing and the nail-biting and the rancor? Is that what we're going to choose? Because we do have a choice. Are we going to be mindful of those who are poor? Or will we continue to push them to the shadows and the woods of the local parks and off the main streets into the alleys, the gutters? Are we going to care about and for the poor as Jesus did? Or do we continue to want to look away? We have choices to make. Are we going to treat others as children of God? Or will I vilify them if they don't agree with me on every important matter? That's a question I sometimes struggle with. Am I going to discount other people because they don't think like I do? They don't pass my particular and peculiar litmus test? Will I vilify them? Or will I treat them like brothers and sisters? Will you be petty or gracious? Will you be welcoming or judgmental? Will you be hopeful or hopeless? It's okay to lament. It's okay to feel sorrow. But those feelings of hopelessness, we must conquer those feelings because people of faith have always leaned into and been buoyed by God's hope. So it's a choice. We have a choice. Do we look at people beyond our borders as foreigner, alien, or neighbor? Do we think of our time on our calendar as something to use for ourselves only? Or do we employ our time in the service for others? That's a choice we get to make every day. Is the money in my bank account there only for me, for my kids' college education, which costs a fortune, you know that? Is it just for my entertainments, for my retirements, for my insecurities, for my bills, for the things I want, for my food? Is that what my bank account is for? Or is my bank account, is it a holy trust that I'm to use to in the care of the wider community? How I think about my own bank account, stuff that I own and have control over, well, that's a choice. It's a choice I have. Am I guided by the likes of St. Francis of Assisi, who asks us, do we seek to serve or to be served? Do we seek to be understood or to understand? We have these and so many more choices to make. Some well-meaning strangers have asked me before, when did you become a Christian? And I tell them that I grew up in the faith. There was never a time in my life where developmentally I didn't believe in God and try to serve God and didn't love Jesus and wasn't aware somehow of the whispers of the Spirit. That's not the question they're really asking. They're asking me, when did I become a Christian? What they expect me to say is that there was a certain time in my past when I was converted, and there's a date and a time and a place. I think it's a flawed question. And I think it's flawed for this reason. We can look back 20 years ago or 40 years ago, and we can say, some of us, when we made some kind of decision, when we became a Christian, when we decided to follow Jesus. Many of us can look back to a specific date or a season in our lives. That question's important, and that history is important because it helped shape who we are now. As we look back to our history, we see how God has moved in our history. So we must remember our history, of course. But that question about what happened in the past doesn't help me today. Because the question is not what I did yesterday or 20 years ago, but the question is, what decision am I going to make today? What decision am I going to make today? And there's a kind of urgency to that question. It's not a question that asks or thinks about tomorrow. We should think a little bit about tomorrow, of course. But this is a question about today. It's a gift we call the present. What am I going to do today? How am I going to follow today? How will I respond today? If I choose Jesus, I cannot choose to discount my neighbor today. If I choose Jesus, I cannot choose hopelessness. Now, sure, hopelessness has a way of sweeping over us, of course, but I can't make the conscious choice for that, as if there were no other choices. If I choose Jesus today, I must choose love. And that means loving God with all that we have. That's the great commandment. But then loving our neighbor as we love ourselves by the power of God's Spirit. If I choose to follow today, I have to choose love. If I don't choose to follow today, I don't need to buy into any of that love stuff. I can leave it at the door. I can like people or not. I can hate them. I can vilify them. Sure, it's my right. But if I choose Jesus, I have to choose love. It's a narrow way, and it's a difficult way, but it's a fulfilling way as well. Choose this day whom you will serve, Joshua asks the people. It was an election day, a day when they stood on the brink of a new journey, a new beginning. When Joshua asked that question long ago, he didn't have Mr. Biden or Mr. Trump in mind, nor did he have Rodney or Betsy, nor did he have a fair tax, up or down. He had none of that in mind, of course, 2,700 years ago. But perhaps he had exactly this in mind. Perhaps he knew, and I think he did, how the vicissitudes of our nature vie for our attention and how it is easy to choose other lesser things, to align ourselves behind lesser important things. He was talking about our allegiance. Are we going to be allied to the ever-changing, whimsical culture? Or will we share our allegiance to the God of the cosmos? In Joshua's answer to this question, we have language for our own answer. As for me and my house, we will choose the Lord. Let's pray. O God, help us by the power of your Spirit. Help us, for we ask it in the name of Jesus the Christ, and the people of God together say, Amen and Amen.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.